Welcome to another episode of the Oncology on the Go podcast. I'm your host, Russ Conroy. On the heels of Sarcoma Awareness Month in July, Dr. Brian Vantine of Washington University in St. Louis spoke about current developments in the sarcoma space and discussed what future research may entail. He spoke about agents that are currently under investigation, including sitravatinib in the treatment of patients with dedifferentiated or well-differentiated liposarcoma, and T-cell therapy for those with synovial sarcoma. He also discussed the potential next steps for research in the space, including the development of new immunotherapies and vaccine-based technologies. So first, I saw that you were one of the authors of a study investigating nirogacestat for patients with desmoid tumors, which is currently under review from the FDA. How might this agent provide a benefit to this patient population?
I think the treatment of desmoid has actually been evolving rapidly since the Alliance clinical trial that was first reported activity of sorafenib. And in that same study, we found out there was a 20% spontaneous regression rate of this tumor if you do nothing. And so our understanding of this tumor has changed, it's evolved, and, you know, we've done a lot of work in this area. And what's interesting is, you know, we understand there's we call it beta-catenin mechanism involved, and nirogacestat gets into that signaling. And all of a sudden, not only do we have sorafenib as an NCCN compendium listing for the treatment of desmoids, but now nirogacestat, which is coming out, is hopefully an FDA-approved treatment for desmoid. And then, you know, the data that came out in this trial is reminiscent of that of sorafenib. You know, the side effect profiles are different between the two agents. But I think having more than one drug for the desmoid population in a treatment, you know, as this treatment paradigm evolves and we now treat these tumors more medically than, say, surgically, you know, having more than one option is good.
Yeah, I would agree. I'd say having more than one treatment option beyond sorafenib and offering a variety of options for patients is usually a good thing. I also saw that you were an author of another study evaluating sitravatinib in patients with well-differentiated or dedifferentiated liposarcoma. What do findings from that study suggest about that agent's efficacy?
So, you know, when we did all the studies of pazopanib, which is a different oral tyrosine kinase inhibitor, it went across all of the sarcomas except liposarcoma, which was left without an oral tyrosine kinase inhibitor that had great activity. What was nice about sitravatinib is that it seems to have activity that is now equivalent to pazopanib in other sarcomas, but in dedifferentiated and well-differentiated liposarcoma. So we found what I would consider the missing TKI for dedifferentiated liposarcoma. And, you know, while the development of sitravatinib is still underway and it's not quite FDA approved yet for another indication, we're hoping that we can still push this tyrosine kinase inhibitor to the liposarcoma space because it was clearly active, it was well tolerated, and it's a missing drug in our armamentarium for that one specific disease.
I see. And from my perspective, it still looks like we're in the early stages for this agent. So where do you feel that research needs to be focused following this?
So I think we either need to do a dedicated trial in dedifferentiated liposarcoma or wait for one of the other trials where sitravatinib is actually being used to read out, and then we can use it as a guideline compendium. And so, you know, I think there needs to be a partnership, especially with the company that owns this agent, so that hopefully we can continue to develop it in this area.
Beyond some of the agents that we've already discussed, are there any other ongoing trials or research in the sarcoma space that appear to be promising?
Oh my gosh, this is such a great question. There are so many amazing clinical trials going on that we could probably talk for the next 3 hours. You know, I think if we talk about the largest trials that are going on right now, the first would be the Unespulin with dacarbazine trial, which is a trial that's going on in leiomyosarcomas. This is a registration phase 3. There is a almost ready for FDA approval trial looking at a T-cell that's being developed for synovial sarcoma, which would be the first T-cell within our space. And I'm quite excited about that. There are So there is a trail of looking in the uterine leiomyosarcoma space of both PARP inhibitors with temozolomide or dacarbazine against standard of care, which is a different registration trial. There is about to be open a trial that's really dear to my research of arginine deaminase, with gemcitabine and docetaxel, which is a metabolic therapy opening up around the world as a registration trial. And then you get into all the phase twos where we're looking for activity, where there's some really neat trials looking at different agents that are targeted now to the mechanisms of the different sarcomas. There are some different immunotherapies being developed. There's talk that we're going to expand the tyrosine kinase inhibitors with immunotherapy with that was just reported at ASCO in different ways, or with chemo in different ways. And then on top of that, you have the early trials where there are signals now evolving that I think will move on to later stage trials with other small molecules against different targets that I can't speak to yet, but I can't wait to when we actually can. So this is a very, very active space where there's a lot of new agents, a lot of new things going on. And this is a space where it's not dormant, it's not being ignored, and there's a lot going on.
Does sound like there's just a variety of research going on in this space. You mentioned a few bits about research into some of the mechanisms and potential immunotherapies. Are there any particular agents of that kind that catch your interest at the moment?
Well, I think, if you start looking at the series of things that were looked at ASCO, if you look at the tyrosine kinase inhibitors, whether lenvatinib or cabozantinib, and these in combination with immunotherapy, you're beginning to identify subsets where that combination seems to be important for certain sarcomas. There's all the data with trabectedin with dual checkpoint inhibitors where that seems to work in a different subset. That's interesting. And then there's all the work of either Seth Pollock, where he's going frontline with doxorubicin and pembro, which is going to be a phase three opening across the country, or Breelyn Wilky, which is looking at chemotherapy with dual checkpoint inhibitors, but different than new checkpoint inhibitors, which actually could potentially be better. So this is, I think we're no longer at the, I wish we could get checkpoints into sarcoma. We're moved on to the question, which checkpoints are right for which sarcoma, and what do we need to do to stimulate? I think we had classically thought things like leiomyosarcoma would never have an immunotherapy, or it would be an odd patient here or there. And that was the signal in the cabozantinib trial. Synovial sarcoma, like the classic checkpoints, didn't work for it. All of a sudden, there's a T cell therapy. There was still great data out there for myxoid round cell liposarcoma with the NY-ESO T cell. And I'm hoping that all comes back when Adaptimmune gets access to the agent they developed again back from GlaxoSmithKline. So I think there's a lot of work here. There's a lot of excitement. I'm just really privileged to be part of it.
That kind of covers some of the ongoing research, but when you look ahead, where do you feel research sort of needs to be focused in the sarcoma space in order to move the needle forward?
So, I think that it's neat that when I first entered this field, the number of dedicated sarcoma labs that were funded were few and far in between. And now there's this new generation of active researchers, both on the pediatric side and the adult side, where we're looking at GIST in new ways. We're looking at leiomyosarcoma in new ways. We're looking at, alveolar soft part sarcoma, which is ultra rare. Here are groups of people looking at everything from ctDNA to metabolic therapies to immunotherapies to, vaccine-based technologies to the new idea of taking the COVID vaccine to make cancer vaccines based on neoantigens within our own tumors. And so if you ask where I think we'll be in 5 years, I think we'll hopefully, if we're lucky, start the conversation where we'll actually be talking about vaccine-based delivery of neoantigens to your own personal sarcoma that will be delivered as an injection. And, what I see, having seen some of the stuff that was at ASCO this year, I think that everything you thought that was on Star Trek is coming true now. And I think we're moving even faster. And, this is quite a journey. But, the best part is when all of a sudden you see that look on a patient's face when you get to tell them that they tried something that was ultra new and it worked. Because we don't do this for us. We do this because we're dedicated to this community. And when you actually get the opportunity to see it works, it's almost as exciting for us as it is for the patient.
To kind of wrap it all together, considering that we are nearing the end of Sarcoma Awareness Month in July, what do you hope your colleagues sort of take away from this conversation?
I have the world's greatest colleagues around the world, and this is a very collegial field, and I think that we as a group have a message that we can only move as fast as the partnership between us and the patients willing to actually try the drugs early can go. And this understanding that clinical trials are needed so that we can figure out who to treat, who not to treat, and really what biology responds to what will only be accomplished through a partnership between everybody. And that the more people that are going to be involved in helping us push technology forward, the faster we'll get to the place where hopefully one day I won't have a job. And I cannot wait for that day.
Great breakdown. Thank you. Those were all the questions that I had for you. Was there anything else that you wanted to discuss that we didn't touch upon previously?
I think that, as always, this is a wonderful field, and if you can't get to a sarcoma doctor early in your treatment, I think you should get to somebody who does this all the time, especially as you evolve through the therapies, because occasionally there's things we do that weren't written down, because this is a very small field and there's 175 different kinds of sarcoma now, each with their own subtypes. And so this field's got complicated. The tumors were really no longer doing one size fits all. And I think having that opportunity to meet with somebody who sees your tumor all the time and where your rare tumor is not rare to them really is probably worth going at least once, especially if there is not easy access.
I'd like to thank you for taking the time to talk to me about some of your research and some other happenings in the sarcoma space that are of interest to you. I do appreciate it.
No, thank you so much for having me, and I'm so glad that you reached out.
Thank you for listening. Don't forget to subscribe to the Oncology On the Go podcast on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or anywhere podcasts are available. Or listen online at cancernetwork.com/resources/podcasts. The Oncology On the Go podcast is the official podcast of cancernetwork.com, the home of the journal Oncology. For more information, visit us at cancernetwork.com and find us at Twitter at cancernetwork without the O, or on Facebook and LinkedIn at cancer-network.